My name is Laura Stemple, and I'm 62. Today is April 21st, 2015, and we're at the Chicago Cultural Center, and Sarah is my friend.
And I'm Sarah Jolie. I'm 49. Today is April 21, 2015. We're at the Chicago Cultural Center, and I am also friends with Laura.
I am Jill Wolf. I'm 35 years old. Today is April 21st, 2015, Chicago Cultural Center, and I am a lucky friend and advocate of Laura and Sarah.
So, Sarah, I remember when you told us about your diagnosis, and I want you to just briefly summarize what happened when you got diagnosed with Hep C and what happened after that.
Well, it came as a shock. I was getting CEO life insurance. I took over the company my grandpa started 90-something years ago, and I got rejected. And I just assumed it was because I'm overweight or something and didn't really think seriously about it. They called me back and said, you need to double check this. And I looked at it, and it just didn't make any sense because I didn't have any massive symptoms of anything. So I went and got my tests, and it was confirmed, and we identified that it was likely from a blood transfusion I got 30 years ago. You know, I just happened to be sort of an upbeat person, and I sort of decided, well, I was pretty lucky that I figured it out right as the whole thing was changing. There were new drugs being approved. They were in the pipework. I was diagnosed in October 2013, and the FDA was set to vote in December of 2013 that was going to take medicines from 48 weeks to 12 weeks. I think I remember emailing all you guys or something and just sort of saying, well, so a little change in plans here. I was still and still is a little surreal of a time because I didn't have strong symptoms, and I'm very lucky that way.
Yeah, I remember the email to, 15 people saying, well, I have some news I want to share with you, and, it's going to be fine. I'm going to have this treatment, and everything's going to be fine. And it was more upbeat than I can imagine myself being about that. But it was also very straightforward. And one of the things that I have been really impressed with is how open you've been, not just about the diagnosis of hepatitis, but also the details of how you felt along the way and how you, partly I remember things like how much you looked forward to being able to have your hair colored again after the treatment regimen was over, but also how you felt physically and what a different, how you were feeling day to day. And I think that's really, in some ways, generous of you to share it with people.
It helped because I think that one of the things I noticed was it's very easy to go to the worst case scenario and you don't know. And, frankly, I was lucky. Like, had this been found 10 years ago when I was treated, it would have been a year potentially, and a lot of people didn't even make it through the year because the treatments were so miserable and hard on the body, and people just didn't make it through and would have to get pulled off with the virus still active.
And you were lucky in a number of ways. One of the things that you always say is that you were lucky that you actually weren't diagnosed any earlier than you were because of the coincidence of getting the diagnosis when new drugs were coming out. But you're lucky in a lot of other ways because you knew what to do, how to approach medicine.
Absolutely.
And do you want to talk a little about?
Yeah, I think that it's a daunting system. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the politics of it, the insurance companies of it. And I, come from educated, white privilege, I suppose is the word, where, when I call the insurance company because there was a little bit of I was getting billed for something I shouldn't have gotten billed for, I actually got listened to and they had a meeting and something changed, or I was told something changed, or, I think that when I'm that sort of pay it forward, I tend to be a kind, thoughtful person, and I was rewarded with kind, thoughtful insurance agents and, pharmaceuticals. I just lucked out that way. Yeah. And I really felt like, what I'd sort of put into the world sort of came back.
But it's not just luck. I noticed this when I was taking care of my mother, that in the hospital, she had adult, well-educated children who weren't afraid of doctors, and she had money and insurance, and we knew what questions to ask, and we were willing to make a scene. And you also, you start with a willingness to question whether the bill you got was correct, or whether what they're telling you on the phone is actually the whole story.
Right.
So you had a lot of advantages.
Well, I am going to start treatment, assuming that I get qualified. Now that I don't have as much liver damage, I may be starting a different kind of advocacy program to try and get it. But the plan is for in the fall. I turned 50 in the end of August, and I really didn't want to sleep through it if I could. So I asked him if I could wait until the fall, and he said, yeah. So the challenge now will be if, due to how, and we've all heard the stories, due to how our medical system works, I may not be sick enough to be eligible to have the new drugs that would get rid of this virus, which is sort of silly. I mean, sort of, not silly. I mean,
not
it's
sick
crazy.
Enough to get them or not sick enough to have them covered by insurance?
Not sick enough to get them covered by insurance.
Right.
And they're $100,000.
Right.
So it is the rare person. And there are patient advocacy things that you can go into, but it's still going to be a lot of out-of-pocket that even I don't really have. I probably have access to it, luckily, that I would have be able to have people help me that makes me part of the minority of people out there with the network that I do have. So I have lots of options that many people don't have. But, you know, if you have to wait until your liver starts to fail to get rid of a virus that really, you know, up until 2 years ago, they couldn't get rid of.
Right.
It was the treatments were wildly ineffective. And then overnight, they were able to start, you know, just a totally different thing.
I can remember when you told everybody about the treatment and that it could actually cure hep C, and I thought, that's not true. You can't cure that. And it had just changed so quickly that I hadn't even realized it had changed.
I can tell you, I was in line at a Chipotle on a Friday when the news broke, and it came in on my text message. And I, looked it up really quick, and basically the lead was, they went from 40% success rate to 90% success rate. Hep C is sort of an interesting virus because there's different genotypes, and you'll have to correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but the United States the most common one in the United States is genotype 1A or 1B, which actually is much harder to cure than genotype 2 and 4. 1 and 3 are the hard ones. And so the drugs are not as effective with my genotype. They still showed a lot of promise.
Right.
And because I hadn't gone through treatments before, they had great hopes that it would be really effective with me. You know, it's very effective with a lot of people. And I've met people their lives have been defined by hep C, who are no longer, I mean, they're still struggling with liver damage and all of those things, but they don't have the virus any longer. So it's pretty cool to be part of that.
So you don't feel like this defines you?
No, not really, but I tend to talk about everything. So I've become I've become a little bit of a poster child for it in some ways, because, and we were sort of talking about this before, that there's a shame attached to hepatitis, that, you know, you get it from IV drug use, prostitution, high-risk sex. And I didn't do any of those things. And I got it, you know, from this sort of blameless blood transfusion thing. And I've found myself explaining to everybody, oh, yeah, I got it through blood transfusion, when really what I was saying is I didn't get it from choices that I made.
Right. Anything else you want to say?
I don't think so. Thanks for asking me.
Well, I really appreciate the both of you and just the relationship and the friendship and however we can get involved to change the world.
Yes,
we will.
That's right.
Thank you for talking to me, Sarah.
Thank you, Laura, for asking me.